a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Wednesday, March 5th of 2025. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? You know how to do it. Your boy is in here fresh off of TV this morning on Fox 26 with Nate Griffin after a long night at the opening night of Rodeo. I saw Reba. Gotta admit, I still do not know any of her music because, as I have complained several times about, NRG Stadium acoustics are mid. But the song that was from that sitcom that she did that I used to watch with my mom, I heard that song and I recognized that one. I don't know what the words were, but I know at one point in that song it goes, "A single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops." More than anything, I'm really impressed by Reba's hair. I don't know if it's real. It's a lot. It's very red. But she did do a great performance, and I had a lot of fun last night, first night of the rodeo. We'll see if I make it through the entire rodeo going every single night. You know who didn't show up last night after not showing up the night before? Your Houston Rockets, who suffered a loss that is 100% from karma. They did not deserve to win last night's game. They rested all their guys on Monday against the Oklahoma City Thunder in what I think is a very, very soft move, hoping that they'd be all ready to go for a game against the Indiana Pacers on Tuesday. Instead, they stunk. After the game, Ime Udoka, head coach of the Houston Rockets, was asked about the performance.
The opposite of what we talked about, what we would hope to have with some guys not playing last night. So it's hard to win when you give up 67 in the first half and play uninspired and, lack physicality and throwing the ball all over the gym and don't look like we care at times. And so, that one hurts because you do all that work to get back into it and go 13 for 26 from the free throw line. Miss about 5 point-blank layups, then you can extend the lead when you're up one and do all that work and then give it back. But more than that, to your point, I care about the fight and effort and competitiveness from the start to avoid getting into that hole.
So there you go. Once again, Ime Udoka is calling out his players' effort, and deservedly so. Now upper management Joe George, who used to be my co-host here, but still is a valued member of the ESPN Houston community, has actually brought to the table a whiteboard. And this is the whiteboard on which we are once again going to reset days since Ime Udoka called out the Houston Rockets. It has been less than 0 days. We got to go back to zero again. They've lost 11 of 16, 7 straight on the road, and Golden State's now 3 back of Houston for the 5 seed. And as I laid out on yesterday's show, the Western Conference is a logjam right now. Things are pretty tight from the 2 seed going all the way down to the 10 seed. Could you really afford to not try Monday against the Thunder? No. And last night, against the Pacers, guess what happened? They didn't seem like they tried, and you had all that rest. Jalen Green, okay, he might have been tired because he actually played in the game on Monday, but he stunk. 12 points, 4 of 13 from the field. 5 turnovers. Dylan Brooks going Philip Seymour Hoffman, and along came Pauly. Let it rain! Clank. Let it rain! Clank. 4 of 16 from the field. 2 of 9 from outside. He does that from time to time. At least sometimes he punches people in the nads and it is amusing for a moment, because who doesn't get a kick out of just simple things like farts and the occasional person getting got in the giblets. Amon Thompson, 5 of 13 from the field. They were 13 of 26 from the free throw line, as you heard from Ime Udoka there. That's college crap. I'm used to seeing my god-awful Syracuse Orange do that. And I think they've been eliminated already, which is a new thing in college basketball with conference expansion. They've actually been eliminated, Sean, who is laughing behind the glass. Cackle. Cackle all you want, chuckle boy.
No, I thought they can't win their conference tournament and punch their ticket?
I guess not.
Which like old Jimmy Boeheim used to do and be a 13 seed and make the Final Four?
I mean, usually they wouldn't do well in the conference tournament and they'd get into the tournament undeservingly.
Oh, okay.
And then since no one knows how to work against the zone, they'd go deep in the tournament. I totally understand how BS a lot of Syracuse's crap was over the years. They got in entirely because of name and prestige.
So now they haven't qualified for the ACC tournament because there's so many teams?
Kill me. Yeah, that's where we're at. Wow. I'm glad I've only watched like 5 seconds of Syracuse basketball this year. I'm more of a Syracuse football guy because Syracuse is a football school and Texas A&M is a basketball school. Congrats to the Aggies on last night's win. Bringing it back to the Rockets. Again, 13 to 26 from the line. That is what a college team does. 37 points allowed in the second quarter. 67 points allowed in the first half. And they scored just 19 points in the fourth quarter. Stamina and effort have been a major question for the Rockets all season long. There is no excuse for none of it when you had the night off before. None. And we've seen this in particular a couple of times. Remember that game against the Timberwolves in Minnesota, where Minnesota was coming off of a back-to-back and Anthony Edwards had scored 49 points the night before? He scores 41 points and he should be out of gas down the stretch of that game, but the Rockets were the team that was out of gas and they had the night off. You know, there's something to the idea that Tom Thibodeau's style and Ime Udoka's style, Sean and I discussed this yesterday, that certain coaching styles are going to make a team maybe not be able to maintain an intensity level that someone like me who likes a little football in my basketball can appreciate for 48 minutes a game, 82 games a year. But after you throw in the towel for a night off, as part of a 3-game-in-4-night stretch, and that's what you do last night. Awful. Just absolutely brutal. 713-780-3776 is how you can jump in. You can do it on the text line on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can also do it on YouTube. From the 281, where's Joe George? We're, again, continuing to discuss this. Joe still works at ESPN Houston, but some family things have popped up. We're wishing his family well. He is now basically the de facto PD of our station, along with Todd. These guys are doing a great job behind the scenes. Joe's been really helpful. So he's still here. So now it's just me. You can also join in on YouTube. You can also join in on Twitch at ESPN975. People are asking for a date update. No date update last night. Did run into the infamous Jen, Pilates Jen, that I've told you guys about, offering classes, very good Pilates instructor. So we saw each other, got a picture together. That was nice, but I don't think it's actually going anywhere. So that's the date update for last night, guys, okay? How about that? You can also join in on YouTube at ESPN Houston. There were some positives from last night's Rockets game. Şengün was efficient. He was 12 of 19 for 25 points. He had 9 boards and 7 assists. 4 turnovers, but like at least it wasn't Şengün that was the issue in this game. Tari Eason, hey, it looked like the night off worked for him. 16 and 14 off the bench. I don't know, do you bench someone for Tari Eason after last night's pants poopage? Reed Sheppard played more than Aaron Holiday. We've been wanting to see that for a while. Now, it's not like he played well, but 15 minutes from Reed Sheppard to 2 minutes from Aaron Holiday. Cam Whitmore played more than Jayshon Tate, so you got that going too. 7 minutes to two. How about that? How about that? But again, last night's loss, karma. They did not deserve to win on Tuesday after not even trying on Monday. The basketball gods looked down upon the Houston Rockets, and then they smote them. Fun times, guys. Fun times.
So the Rockets are a pillar of salt now?
Mm-hmm. They have been reduced to a pillar of salt until they get back.
I was going to say tomorrow night against the Pelicans. They
tomorrow
need to
night. Right.
Go back to being human bodies.
I mean, the Pelicans are god-awful, so, I mean, you know, this might have been the game that you rest people instead of, the, you know, back-to-back nights against good teams, huh? Or you could have staggered the benching all of your guys between the Monday and the Tuesday. Instead, you did it all on Monday against the best team, and you actually put in your best effort of the two nights where you lost last night, and the effort seemed to be minimal despite a bunch of guys coming back from a day off.
How about this, Ime Udoka? Get your high school basketball on. The starters from Monday night, congratulations. You're the starters going forward until these guys prove that they're going to play Houston Rocket basketball.
Hell yeah.
I like the fight that I saw out of Jock Landale starting at center. I liked what I saw out of Reed Shepard and Cam Whitmore. I forgot who else started. Oh,
yeah.
Jalen Green.
Yeah, Jalen Green. Oh, listen. You can't get mad at Jalen Green for last night as much as you'd like to, even though he has been rather inconsistent since the All-Star break, because he did play the night before. I will at least give him that, because he played, and Ime Udoka allowed him to play.
He has a streak to maintain.
That's true. Oh, damn. You know what? That's probably
That's why he played. That's why he also stopped playing after he played 24 minutes and then got pulled in the fourth quarter.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Ugh, rough. Anyway. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call, to text in the HRNP listener line. You can also join on YouTube or on Twitch at ESPN Houston on YouTube, at ESPN 975 on Twitch. We've touched on potential Texans targets over the last couple of days. The legal tampering window opens up 5 days from now, and while I did not think that the Texans missed out on Deebo Samuel over the weekend, they definitely missed out on this guy. You'll find out who I'm talking about on the other side. Stick around, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Before I tell you the guy that Houston Texans missed out on, Eric the Driver asks this question. Paul, what's been your favorite team that you've ever watched? And you can't pick the New England Patriots. It is the 2003-2004 Tampa Bay Lightning. I say that because I think of any championship team that I went to multiple games of that aren't the New England Patriots. That's probably the team that I saw the most games of. 12 regular season games. They used to have this thing. It was called a 12-pack punch. Get this, how affordable tickets used to be and how affordable tickets might be in a hockey hotbed like St. Petersburg and Tampa, Florida. The 12-pack punch was $120 for 12 games worth of tickets. The key was
$10 a ticket?
$10 a ticket.
Or $10 a game.
Yeah. And it was 300 level, but I found that 300 level above the net at a hockey game, it's pretty awesome. You see everything develop. Maybe things underneath in the net that's close to you aren't exactly as clear as you'd like. But, yeah, that was fun. What really sucks is the year after they'd won the cup and I'd fallen in love with hockey, which I didn't really like when I lived up in Massachusetts because my dad hated hockey because he hated the ownership of the Boston Bruins, who once sold Bobby Orr for, like, a pack of cigarettes to the Chicago Blackhawks. And then they go on strike the next year. So that was it. It was a fun year. I was really into hockey. And since then, I have outside of a couple of months in Boston when they won the Stanley Cup in 11, I have not lived in a city with hockey since then. So we're talking like 14 years. I don't know a damn thing about it, and I've stopped watching it altogether because if I'm not going to be talking about it on the show, then, you know, what's the point? What's the point? So now I watch baseball, which I love. I love baseball, and I do actually love basketball. The Houston Texans missed out on a trade that happened today. I can't believe it happened. I'm trying to figure out how it happened. The Chicago Bears traded a fourth-round pick for another offensive lineman. Yesterday, they traded a sixth-round pick for Rams offensive lineman Jonah Jackson. They traded a fourth-round pick for Joe Tooney. For those who don't know, Joe Tooney is the Chiefs' left tackle. He was the team's MVP. He has missed two games his whole career. He also can play left guard. Well, he had the highest pass block win rate in the NFL, was first-team All-Pro this year, first-team All-Pro last year, and has been to three straight Pro Bowls. And he was acquired for a fourth-round pick. What? What the hell happened? Is he dying? What is happening here? A fourth-round pick is insane.
2026 fourth-round pick, so.
Oh, even worse.
14 months from now.
Not even this year? What the hell? How did the Bears pull this off? Is he super expensive? I don't think he's that much money. He's 32. I get that. Nick Caserio drafted this guy in New England. He was a Patriot. I think they got him in 2016. This blows my mind. This is a miss. You can't call it anything but that. How do you not get him? Fourth round pick? How is he available? Is he wanted for murder? I'm serious question. Is this Aaron Hernandez of the Chiefs or Jovan Belcher? That was their situation. Like, what is going on?
Last year of his contract is coming up. He makes $16 million. So you can just re-sign him.
16?
Like, yeah, you can just extend him.
They traded two first round picks for Laremy Tunsil under Bill O'Brien. A fourth-round pick for Joe Tooney. I don't care if it's an expiring contract. That is a miss. Got to get that deal.
Honestly, it being expiring is good because maybe you can get it less than 16, but you just tack on two more years after this because, like you said, three straight Pro Bowls, back-to-back All-Pros. It's not like this guy's falling off a cliff.
No, he's at his best. So yeah. You could do the three-year extension with two of those years actually guaranteed and have him around. This is crazy.
Yeah, just don't put him at tackle, which the Texans wouldn't have done.
Yeah, they wouldn't have. They would definitely put him on the interior.
Because the tackle, he was all right at tackle, but, I mean,
the Eagles did kill him.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That happened.
Wasn't all on Joe Tooney, but yeah. No. And maybe that's what the Chiefs were thinking, but...
But no. If I was thinking that, I would not trade away my best offensive lineman.
No, right? Exactly.
If I played in that Super Bowl.
We're just going to press the reset button. So maybe the Chiefs are pressing the reset button. Fourth round pick for Joe Tooney. That's insane. Shout out to Ryan Pace. Is it Ryan Pace?
No, Pulse.
Pulse, yeah. God, I forgot the last GM was Ryan Pace. This GM is Ryan Pulse. Ryan Pace is so not confused. A good GM. Ryan Pace is the Mitchell Trubisky guy.
Yeah.
Ryan Pulse?
Meh.
I mean, he did do that trade with the Panthers where he got some extra picks for what turned out to be Bryce Young, who looked bad his rookie year. So Ryan Pulse looked very good leading up to the moment where the Bears got Caleb Williams. But since then, he has not looked great because Bryce Young has looked pretty good. And that was a rough year last year for Caleb Williams. But hey, he's getting offensive line protection for his QB. And the Texans did not trade for a guy who Nick Caserio drafted, who is also one of the best offensive linemen in the league and acquired for a fourth round pick.
What does Nick Caserio know? What do the Kansas City Chiefs know? Maybe this guy... Maybe he's a ticking time bomb. Maybe he's about to fall off the cliff, and the Chiefs know it. Caserio knows it, but Ryan Poles doesn't. This is me coping. This is me trying to come up with an excuse. A, for why the Chiefs are trading this guy. B, why the Texans aren't involved.
I got it.
I'm right there with you.
There's no reason for this to happen. Now,
Honestly, I look at the Chiefs too. Like, what are you guys doing?
No,
I mean, shop around a little bit. This is, I mean, it's not quite Luka Doncic, but I mean, is this the only team they talk to? You know, it's obviously Luka Doncic, one of the best players in basketball.
That's an extreme example.
But this is one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, yeah. And it was for a fourth round pick. I get his contract expiring, and maybe Joe Tooney hates Kansas City. Maybe he thinks Kansas City barbecue sucks. Maybe he doesn't like living in the Midwest. Maybe he can't handle the heat of being on a team with Travis Kelce, the, you know, future husband, theoretically, of Taylor Swift, who has said he's going to return to the NFL next year. But Jackson Mahomes. Maybe Jackson Mahomes has sexually harassed Joe Tooney. I'm trying to think of something. I really can't figure this out. This is, like, the Chiefs did themselves a disservice here, and the Texans should have. I picked up the phone, and I suppose hindsight's 2020. Maybe the Texans are like, wait, what? He was available? I didn't even know.
But that's kind of a indictment on you as a GM, especially a week after the combine, where isn't that the whole point of the combine? All the good guys don't do anything. The point of the combine is for these GMs to mingle and for media members to get in fights at Starbucks. Like, the excuse can't be we didn't know he was available, because that unless I forgot what the GM of the Chiefs name is, but unless
Brett Veach.
Yeah, unless Veach was pulling a Nico Harrison and actually did only trade him to, or only called one guy. Like, you're at the combine. Go shake Brett Veach's hand. Ask him about things.
Does Nick Caserio not think he's cool enough to approach Brett Veach? Because Nick Caserio has been a part of more success than Brett Veach.
Yeah, no,
has. Nick Caserio has more
at
rings.
The cool kids table.
He has more rings than Brett Veach. Caserio.
Is that true?
Yeah, he should have at least five, if not six.
Wait, when did he join the Patriots?
I think 2001.
Okay.
He has at least five. It's around 2001, 2002. I think there was a year where he stepped away, but he's been there for...
Yeah.
He was there for basically the whole run. So, yeah, I don't get it. Come on, Nick. Talk to the cool kids.
What it is, he didn't talk to him because in his head he was like, well, I saw the Super Bowl. They need offensive linemen. I need offensive linemen. No way. No way is he trading away his best offensive lineman.
No, he's pretty, no way he'll do this. No way he'll go out with me. I mean,
I'm little Nick Caserio.
Come on, Nick. You got to have more confidence. You can't be like me in your own head.
Take off those glasses, put your hair down, and all of a sudden, what? This nerd smoking hot?
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Now,
that's what I've heard.
Funny story. There was a person on my rodeo committee who I, at the rodeo tent on, I don't know, one of the days this past weekend, we had a nice little exchange. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll ask her out. Had not been read until yesterday at the cook-off. I saw her. I saw her show her phone to somebody else as I sat down at the table. And then I checked my phone with dread. It had just been read. I guarantee you she just showed it to that girl. That sucked so hard.
Hey, listen, shoot or shoot.
Shoot or shoot. We are mass shooting right now, but much like Dylan Brooks, we are getting shot the hell down.
Yeah.
Like the Twitch is like really getting after me on this. Like, Paul, we only want your date updates. Guys, I don't want to kill myself, okay? The more I talk about it, the more sad I get. I am running out of options, as my mom said, okay?
You need the Dylan Brooks night where you go 5 for 5 against the Spurs.
I need that bad, man. I've needed that for a while. I mean, my God, I'm just pursuing people with kids. Like, Jesus. Sorry, nothing against people with kids, but I mean, that's where I'm at right now. From the 409, DK Metcalf just requested a trade. Should the Texans explore that or no? So here's the thing about DK Metcalf. I love DK Metcalf. He is powerful. He is fast. Here's the thing with DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is good for one personal foul penalty a game. Do you want that? Do you want that? It's kind of funny to see DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf bullies defensive backs. It's really funny to watch, but you also realize he's out of control a lot out there. I think he's had multiple incidents where he's slapped and or punched a guy out on the field. Personally, I like him. I think he's a cool guy. I interviewed him a couple of times when he was up in Seattle. I really got a kick out of when that story came out about how Russell Wilson taught him to swim. I asked him the question, hey, would you let Russell Wilson teach you anything else? And he basically pled the fifth. And I was like, okay, this guy gets it. This guy gets it. So I like him. But as I said yesterday, you're signing guys like Devontae Adams. You're just signing people. You should not be trading people. If Cooper Kupp gets cut, Sign him. Devontae Adams is cut. Sign him. No trades for receivers. Trades for offensive linemen? Yes. Joe Tooney, the Texans missed on him. So now he's a member of the Chicago Bears. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Twitch is also going after the fashion. This is a good shirt. Is it too pink? A little too pink? Is that the thing? Pink flannel?
Yeah, that I can't imagine there's a ton of love for pink flannel. I think
I like Hawaii flannel. It's a little bit of me and a little bit of warm weather.
I think clothing. It looks brighter on the stream than...
Good, I want it to.
Yeah, no, but... Yeah.
I want it to, because I might be...
Also, I'm colorblind, so I'm not very helpful here.
Since my dating life is going so poorly, in Soft Boys, guess what, guys? We might listen to something that I guess I have to consider from an all-time podcaster, because he was the epitome of a soft boy in this moment. Soft Boys, who's been soft in the world of sports? 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can weigh in on the Texans passing on Joe Tooney and the Rockets' karmic loss last night as well. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Two things we've discussed thus far on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I think the Rockets' loss to the Pacers last night was karma for not trying on Monday. They didn't deserve to win. They got their pants pulled down for all the world to see, and there weren't much there. Not a lot going on there. Rather Irish, if you will. And the Bears traded for Chiefs all-pro tackle Joe Tooney. They only had to give up a fourth-round pick in the 2026 draft to get him. I think the Texans should have made a phone call. So unless there's some sort of Nico Harrison situation where Chiefs GM Brett Veach was only calling Bears GM Ryan Poles, I think Nick Caserio might have been asleep at the wheel here. We did touch on some potential targets for the Texans yesterday. Devontae Adams, he's being cut by the Jets. He should be at the top of the list. Another option, and I failed to mention this in the last segment. People were talking about DK Metcalf, who just requested a trade. Don't blame him, because I think the reason he did it might be because Tyler Lockett was released by the Seahawks. You might remember that the Texans wanted Tyler Lockett in the 2015 NFL draft when Bill O'Brien was here, but the Seahawks snuck in front of the Texans and drafted him, and the Texans ended up taking Jalen Strong, who was not a good player for them. Lockett was really good in Seattle. He is getting up there in age. I would say he is probably approaching the Robert Woods phase of his career. And you just saw Robert Woods here, in that I think he still has skill, but am I looking at him as a top three receiver on my team? Probably not. Still, I would consider Tyler Lockett for sure. He is, if I'm not mistaken, from here. Where is he from originally? My bad. Tulsa, Oklahoma. He went to Kansas State, played there. He's in their Ring of Honor. And with the Seahawks, he's always been one of those guys where you don't know how he beats you deep because he's small and undersized and not the fastest guy out there. But he was able to do that. I think what you've seen, though, over the last couple of seasons in Seattle, and I really do wonder what's going on there, because Geno Smith's future's up in the air, and DK Metcalf just requested a trade, and Tyler Lockett has been released. Like, really, you're just going to go with JSN, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, going forward? All right. I don't know. It's a weird move by Seattle. But, hey, Nick Caserio, pick up the phone, because I think Tyler Lockett can be had at a reasonable price, where Devontae Adams are probably going to have to splurge a little bit. And, I don't know, say you decided to pull the trigger and go after one, T. Higgins, trade for him. And, you know, that's a lot of money, and you're going to have to trade. So, honestly, no, don't do that.
Garrett Wilson, Kupp, like all these guys you had to trade for.
Chris Godwin is available. He is, I think, the fifth-ranked free agent per the top 100 big board with the franchise tag deadline yesterday. So, there you go. Tyler Lockett, I think the Texans should sniff around. Time for some soft boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports?
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka called out LeBron James for being a soft-ass boy in a Rockets-Lakers game last year, we do this segment. The Rockets, soft. You didn't play on Monday. You didn't try on Tuesday. What are we doing here? Not a fan, and I think it was karmic justice what happened last night.
Especially just to get, like, not blown off the court early, but for it to be so clear early that it's like, oh, this is what we're getting.
The second quarter, I mean, you allowed 37 points. Like, you saw it right there, and yet if it was in the fourth quarter or something like that, again, I'd even almost get it. But this is, you had the night off. Like, your best players had the night off.
Yeah.
A lot of your best players.
Fourth quarter also would have been tough just because, like, you're tired? You guys are tired?
Yeah.
But, they did make a run in the fourth to make it close, and then immediately gave up a bigger run to the Pacers to put it away. But, yeah, not great stuff from the Rockets. They do, I think they have back-to-back games, or not back-to-back, but they have two straight games against the Pelicans, one at home, one on the road. You know, you got to bury these guys. Like, these can't be like clutch wins either.
No.
Like, you need to win by, you know, 7-10.
You need to clobber something.
At least 7-point margin of victory at least.
Maybe start a fight in the game. I don't know.
Yeah. Someone punched CJ McCollum.
Yeah. Soft. Florida Gulf Coast coach Pat Chambers. He skipped a handshake with Queens, I believe, forward Nas Mann for a celebration dunk at the end of Queens' victory over Florida Gulf Coast. Formerly Florida Dunk Coast, I believe.
Dunk City.
Dunk City, that's what it was back in the day. If you look at the handshake, he skips by him. Nas Mann is surprised that Chambers skipped by. And Chambers says something to him, and the guy right behind him shoves Chambers forward, who then gives handshakes out to the rest of the players, including one player who he like touched on the side of the cheek, which I was a little uncomfortable with.
I don't like that either. Yeah, people get super mad about the layup or the dunk at the end of the buzzer or at the end of a game.
Why?
At the buzzer. It's so stupid.
It's really dumb. Like, you lost, and yeah, if it's an open dunk, you're not playing. You're not putting on a defensive effort at the end of the game. All right, just walk off the court then.
Yeah,
but if you're not trying, anything is in bounds, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, 100%. Or if you, it's the same thing as when teams are fouling and then someone goes for a dunk. It's like, well, you're still trying to win this game. We're calling timeouts. Like in football, if you're still calling timeouts, like, well, then we're going to throw it in the end zone late if you're still calling. Because by you calling timeouts makes me think that you think it's still a game.
We'll talk, speaking of college basketball and the end of a game, Auburn, soft for basically having one player out there as the Aggies upset number one Auburn last night. At the end, we're scared for player safety. And by the way, the Aggies, we'll talk about this in the next segment. I'm disappointed in them not storming the court. That was a monumental victory. You're allowed to enjoy it. I know it's an SEC thing. We'll dive into it in a couple of minutes. Who else is soft? This is an interesting story, and I don't know if this player is soft. Women's tennis player Emma Raducanu won the U.S. Open in 2021. And apparently she's been dealing with a stalker at the Paribas Open in Indian Wells. This guy has followed her like from tournament to tournament. Singapore, Abu Dhabi, Doha, now in Indian Wells. He was ejected from one of these arenas after she spoke to a chair umpire during a game. This guy was detained by Dubai police. He signed a document pledging to maintain distance from her. And I guess he didn't follow through. So she had a tennis match yesterday And throughout the match, she was very rattled by it and talked about it afterwards, saying, "I was distraught. Saw him the first game of the match. I don't know how I'm going to finish. I literally couldn't see the ball through tears. I could barely breathe. I need to take a breather here. It was an emotional time. After the match, I did break down in tears, but not necessarily because I lost." And this is something she's dealt with in the past, so giving her the benefit of the doubt to the degree. But the first article that I read about this on ESPN, at the very bottom, before it was definitely edited out, it noted that she has not been playing well for a while. Like, she's been struggling. She's been bad at tennis. They call it poor form in tennis, in this country club-ass sport. And the reasons for the poor form, per artificial intelligence of Google, are performance anxiety and injuries and coaching changes. She's had 6 coaches in the last 3 years. So, seems like she's a little bit of a head case. I'm not a woman. Can't speak for being in the shoes of a woman who's being stalked. I think a lot of you guys would probably, especially on the Twitch, say, like, "Paul, you probably want to be stalked right now." And to that, I would say, kind of. I'm wondering, though, if this is her, like, losing and shifting blame to this. This is just because that piece that was edited out of the ESPN article where it mentions that she played poorly, which was gone when I checked back on the article 20 minutes later. Something's up. Anyway, that I leave to you. I truly do not know if this is soft or not. More soft. Armie Hammer. Well, let's just say the man is trying his best to scrape a living together after being blackballed from acting for having a fetish that involves cannibalism that I don't think he's actually fallen through on. It's one of the weird blackballings. I mean, Woody Allen, I think, is still involved in Hollywood. Harvey Weinstein was for the longest time. But Armie Hammer talks about cannibalism and everyone loses their mind. So the guy's struggling looking for work. So now he's doing podcasts and he's clearly just throwing out what he hopes goes viral. So in an interview that he did in a podcast, Armie Hammer said he wanted to try going gay on Grindr, which is an app that is generally used by gay men who, you know, let's just say they're not in it for dating. And he actually went on a date with someone and it went all the way to the end until eventually, let's just say, it wasn't going in the direction that he thought it would before the date began.
He was a soft boy.
He was soft.
In that moment.
In that moment, he was soft. Not soft. Howie Roseman, Eagles general manager, who had this to say about winning Super Bowls.
Is this PG rated or PG-13?
Or whatever rated.
Yeah. So I'd say like the first one's almost like, can I say this, Bob? Yes, can we delete this? Is this live? You don't know what I'm saying?
You don't know what I'm saying? This is the best part. You can be
it's,
you.
It's almost like the first time you have sex. You're so glad you had sex. It's not even the quality of it. The second time, it's like, wow, I could actually have fun and enjoy this.
So, Howie Roseman, the Super Bowl gets him there.
Multiple time sex haver, Howie Roseman.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Armie Hammer, Howie Roseman rose to the occasion as general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. Yes. At least twice.
And he avoided talking about cannibals.
Yeah, that's true. Portland State basketball coach Jace Coburn, hardo boy, because after a victory for Portland State, he said, "We're tough. We're physical, we're bleeping coming," and then step back as he said it. We all know he was talking about coming into the NCAA tournament, but I think he realized that the phrasing right there was something that would have led to, in the television show Archer, phrasing?
Yeah. That's Portland State. That's where Ime Udoka went too.
That's true.
So hard all the way around.
One last soft boy. I gotta say, we all knew this was coming, but let's just call the entire government out for like saying, "Hey, we're gonna reveal the Epstein files." Wait, this one FBI guy's in the way. Here's the Epstein files. Just kidding. We don't have anything new for you. That's soft. Come on. Someone show some chutzpah. Let's see some names. We're all curious.
The thing is, it'll be their names.
Yeah.
You're asking them to release their names.
That's probably it. Anyway, there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Soft boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? Up next, huge win for the Aggies last night. Should the fans have stormed the court, though? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Aggies had an awesome win last night. They stomped number one Auburn. Should be very proud of that if you're an Aggie. Gig 'em. But I was a little underwhelmed with the end. I say that especially with how the ending of this game was framed by the ESPN broadcast.
Really well done by Buzz Williams. 83-72 is the final. It will be a very lonely court rush. There's one kid who made it out to the logo.
Oh, boy. You have the first win over a number one team in program history on senior night, and you're not storming the court, and I get it. There's SEC rules. This has happened a couple of times this year where towards the end of a game, coaches are calling timeouts and telling fans in the stands, guys, please do not storm the court. But come on, that's lame. It's fun to storm the court. You could say, oh, the Aggies are a basketball school. No, they expect to win games like this. And maybe that's actually true. But why are we stopping this all of a sudden? And Texas A&M is acting like, oh, we're going to lose some NIL money. Are you effing kidding me? You guys bought out Jimbo Fisher's contract. You're fine. You have money. You can afford Buzz Williams, who was a good coach, at your program. Storm the court. Oh, it's a little fine. You're going to lose some NIL money. You're still going to have some. You think these restrictions are real? They're not real. You can work your way around it. I think it's lame. Let the kids have fun. It's not enjoyable when you storm a court. I will speak as somebody who has stormed a court before. It wasn't fun, especially when you're just stuck out there after you got in there. You're like, oh, now what? It's not like there's beer out there. It's not like there's booze out there. Hell, there's not even Gatorade or water you can drink. You're just stuck out there and you sweat for a little bit. Then you slowly and awkwardly leave. And hopefully you're not stepping over the bodies of people you've trampled along the way. I will admit, someone tried to grab onto me for dear life as they fell. And I turned around and I stiff-armed them right in the face.
Right, like Scar and Mufasa?
Long live the me.
Long live the Paul.
Long live the Paul. I am not going to be brought down by you. But yeah, once you get to the middle, it sucks. And I mean, Syracuse had beaten Georgetown. We shouldn't have been storming the court anyway. That's our arch rival. Like, you don't do it when, supposedly, when you beat your arch rival. But I have no problem with the kids doing it. And this is all because what? Like, that one guy on Duke, he got breathed on too hard?
Yeah, Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, like, oh, no, the white Duke guy. Oh, God, he was a victim out there. Oh, no, we can't do this at all anymore. And the SEC's the one overreacting to something that took place in a different conference?
It's crazy because this isn't the first time it's happened in, like, the SEC where Vanderbilt has really cracked down on this. Now, Vanderbilt, I get because I think in football they stormed the field twice. I think in basketball, they also stormed the court, I think, at least twice. And so there's another time where, like, the athletic director was like, hey, we're repeat offenders of this. Like, the fines, like, start adding up. Now, it is Vanderbilt, and, like, look up how much money Vanderbilt has. They don't spend any of it
right.
on athletes, but look how much money they have. They can pay it. But this is a concerted effort, it looks like, from the SEC for some reason to curtail this. I haven't really seen it in football, or at least – remembering last season, I don't remember a big moment where you expect a court or a field storm and you didn't get it in football. But for whatever reason, basketball is where they're drawing the line here. Maybe it's because they don't care about basketball. We're not spending extra money on this, all right? I don't care how good we are at it.
Very cult-like of the Aggies to fall in line with one of their leaders. But, hey, disciplined group.
Yeah.
It's a disciplined group.
So is Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jonestown. Sorry.
Yep.
Not Georgetown.
Yep. That's a cult. That's a cult where a lot of people died, if I'm not mistaken.
But hey, they followed orders.
From the 346, I wanted them to storm the court so they could get fined heavily, which is better for my Bevos. I mean, I guess.
If you think what 50 racks is going to make a difference,
yeah, like they're better than you at basketball right now. It's not gonna make a difference going into next year, I would think. From the 512, Aggies were ranked top five like 2 weeks ago. Weren't even 5-point dogs last night. If you're a one-possession underdog, you shouldn't storm the court. Come on. They're college kids.
Yeah.
That one guy stormed the court, and as someone pointed out on the Twitch, he's probably drunk. Fair point. Come on. I don't understand how you think you're above storming the court. You've never beaten a team that's ranked number one in your program's history. That's a huge win. Aggie should be proud of it. What are we doing? Let them storm the court. Have fun. Oh, we might have Cofield Pelsky get hurt. The Auburn left the court. They left the court before the game was even over. They had one guy just, like, roll the ball in. That's it. It was done right there. Come on.
Yeah, no, it's really lame what they're – and this isn't just, like, an Aggies thing.
No,
like,
this is SEC. Yeah, this is 100% SEC. But I feel like it's lame that the Aggies couldn't celebrate that. I think they should have disobeyed. But Colts don't do that. And, hey, listen, it's fine. It's fine. Congratulations on the win. Seriously. Whoop. Isolate that. I'm gonna put my thumb up as I did that. Whoop! Whoop whoop! Gig up Texas Aggies! Take it down, number one Auburn! Fight, Aggies, fight! Riffity, riffity, riff raff, chiffity, chiffity, chiff chaff, riff raff, chiff chaff. Let's give him a horse laugh. Whoop! There you go. I'm basically an Aggie now.
I know. You should be a yell. Do they have, like, volunteer yeller?
I mean, again, like, I might need to explore the options that many people accuse me of already exploring, seeing as the opposite sex ain't working. Is that a way in? I don't know. Paul, did you just deploy? No, I didn't. I don't know what they are. There's only men. It seems like it's, you know, it's just for guys. What's wrong with what Armie Hammer did? Why can't I do that?
Not the maybe cannibalism. The other stuff that he did. What's wrong
not the with cannibalism. The other stuff's okay. It's 2025, baby. All right. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone points out the jersey ceremony that happened afterwards. Whatever. You can do it after they storm the court. Come on, guys. Let them have fun. Jeez. Up next, NFL free agency. It's almost underway. The Texans did not trade for Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Tooney today. The Bears got him for a fourth round pick, which is insane. Is there actually a way to justify the Texans not pulling the trigger? I'm going to give you a devil's advocate argument on the other side. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.